Welcome. Today we're talking about treating GERD with dietary therapies. And my guests in this panel discussion are Dr. John Pandolfino. He's a Hans Popper Professor of Medicine and Chief of Gastroenterology and Hepatology. And Bethany Dorfler. She's the Clinical Research Dietitian in the Division of Gastroenterology, and they're both at Northwestern Medicine. I'm so glad to have you both with us today. Dr. Pandolfino, I'd like to start with you. Please speak briefly about the pathophysiology of GERD and what determines disease severity.
Yeah, so the pathophysiology of gastroesophageal reflux disease is actually more complicated than people think. Typically, people think of this as an acid disease mostly, but actually when you look at normal people and people with GERD, they have about the same amount of acid in their stomach. And really what it is, it's actually a disorder of delivery of that acid from the stomach into the esophagus. So it's really abnormalities in anatomy and physiology that really dictate how much acid gets into the esophagus and above and sits in the esophagus and injures the esophagus and causes all those symptoms. So it's really more of a motility and an anatomical problem than an acid problem. But most of the time, at least medically, we focus on suppressing the acid. And I think that really lays into the whole idea of the talk today and the discussion today in that we're focusing on how obesity and how diet affects reflux, but it does have a very important role in the physiology of reflux disease.
Well then, doctor, what has been the standard treatments for GERD? What do you most typically do?
So most typically what we usually start with is some very mild lifestyle modifications where we'll ask them to identify some triggers and to avoid those. We'll also advocate for weight loss, and you know, it doesn't take a lot of weight loss, and studies suggest that even 5 to 10 pounds of weight loss can lead to a dramatic reduction in symptoms and reflux. So we ask the patient to try to lose a little bit of weight, and then depending on how severe their symptoms are, we'll start with medical management. And really the state of the art right now has been proton pump inhibitors. So if people have pretty significant symptoms and they have a really reduced quality of life, we'll start right off the bat with a proton pump inhibitor, something like omeprazole, lansoprazole, pantoprazole. Those are some of the older ones that have been around for a while and are generic. And those really focus on blocking the pumps that secrete acid, and they actually are very effective in treating most people who have acid-related symptoms.
Beth, as Dr. Pandolfino mentioned obesity a few times and how that is one of the first lines of defense, how important is obesity as an independent risk factor for GERD?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. In the last several decades, we've seen the obesity epidemic in the U.S. take off. We've been able to see that weight gain independently predicts the onset of GERD and reflux symptoms. And conversely, as Dr. Pandolfino mentioned, we see that when people lose weight, not only do we see that their GERD symptoms improve, but actually even their PPI medications can work better. And some studies that we can talk about have shown as little as a 5 pound weight loss up to more like a 10 to 12% of body weight loss. So really, we can see a lot of really substantial changes. More than 66% of Americans are either overweight or obese. And when we think about the physiology of GERD, when individuals gain weight, they have a tendency to gain weight around their midsection. And that increases the pressure at the base of the esophagus, also making reflux worse.
So Beth, based on that, does the current healthcare system effectively promote weight reduction in patients with obesity and GERD? Do you feel that this is new and that we're learning more about it as an independent risk factor? Do you feel that it's been concentrated on before?
I would say that weight loss as a primary lifestyle treatment tool for reflux is only recently receiving its due attention in the GI world. Weight loss has primarily been viewed as first-line therapy for treating cardiovascular disease, diabetes, hypertension. And we're starting to see that some of the elements of the diet that help facilitate weight loss, weight loss is important because not only does it help reflux, but some of the foods that we encourage people to eat to promote weight loss also may have a real functional role in helping to protect the esophagus and your overall wellness.
Well, I'm going to stick with you just a minute. Since you are a dietitian, what role does diet play? Is dietary therapy, what we're going to be discussing a little more here today, is that an effective long-term treatment modality?
Diet therapy is a very effective modality to treat GERD for several reasons. I think historically, our treatment or our focus on nutrition to treat GERD has focused more on types of foods that people shouldn't eat. People have often been given some pretty basic advice about limiting acidic foods. And as Dr. Pandolfino mentioned, it's really not purely about the acid. It's more about kind of the physiology and the acid clearance of the esophagus. So we're starting to shift our focus in nutrition, not only to look at what people are eating, but kind of how they're eating. How do we reduce portion size? How do we include certain foods that empty faster from the esophagus and the stomach? What types of fibers and antioxidants can be good for the esophageal mucosa? And we're really getting away from globally telling people that they can't eat certain foods, and we're really trying to play up eating more of certain types of foods that will contribute not only to wellness, but also to weight loss.
Well, thank you for that answer. So, Dr. Pandolfino, tell us about the Reflux Improvement and Monitoring, the TRIM program. What is it, and has it proven to be an effective weight loss intervention? Tell us a little bit about your recent study, some of the results, and some of the methods that you used.
Yeah, so the TRIM study was really in response to kind of this overarching plan to really involve diet and weight loss more in the upfront treatment of reflux disease. And really, when you look at it, an important quality measure of how well we're doing in terms of, you know, gastroenterology is, are we effectively educating our patients and giving them advice and treatment outline focus on weight loss and diet in GERD? And, you know, we can give people, as Beth mentioned, these lists of things to not do, but we really need to be a little bit more proactive with the patients. So what we decided to do at Northwestern was we designed this platform in our electronic health record where if you are overweight and you're on an acid medicine for reflux, you were contacted by a health coach. And this health coach helped you along with some very solid standard advice to lose weight, maybe exercise a little bit more, and then helped you actually try to get off your acid medicine. And we were astounded by the results. We saw that when we actually looked at this, you know, over 50% of the people actually hit their weight loss target of 10 to 15 pounds. We saw a huge reduction in symptoms for many of the patients, and also a big proportion of these patients actually were able to get off their acid medicines, which, you know, I mean, anytime you take a medicine, it's expensive. It interrupts your life because you have to work your, you know, that into your daily practice and daily activities. And then, of course, you know, any medicine can have some side effects and you want to reduce that. And if you can get people off a medicine by having them live a healthier lifestyle, it's really important. And with that, we've kind of now implemented this TRIM program across the system and not just in the esophageal group and the reflux group, but really trying to indoctrinate across all of primary care because the results were so good and they were really done in a way that was not intrusive in terms to the way a physician practices and also for the patient's life. And I think they really enjoyed having this advocate.
Well, I'm sure they did. And what a great program. What a great study. So Dr. Pandolfino, tell us a little bit about the Esophageal Center at Northwestern Medicine that you developed. What can referring providers expect?
Yeah, so at Northwestern, you know, we've always had a strong tradition of excellence in the esophagus. It started with Peter Carillis, who really was the person who brought the physiology and science to Northwestern. And we've really built this program to the point where now we have 6-7 practitioners. Beth is one of our main dietitians. We have psychologists, and it's a really complementary, integrated program where we focus on providing a personalized precision model in a very integrated practice unit format. So we try to really expedite your workup. So we really truly understand the pathology and the pathophysiology behind what's driving your symptoms, because even reflux can be very complex. There are some patients that have more of a belching pattern with reflux. There are other people who have strain patterns that may be related to obesity. There are other patients who have a really defective anti-reflux barrier. They may have a hiatal hernia. And you have to tailor the therapy individually for patients. So when we actually see you, we'll actually sit there and say, okay, this is the actual symptom that you're worried about, and we're going to focus on that. This is the diet and the lifestyle modifications that will effectively help you with this particular symptom and this pathophysiology. This is the right treatment. So it's a really head-to-toe precision approach to anyone who comes in with an esophageal complaint. And as I mentioned, GERD is something that fits a precision personalized model very well.
And I would also like to add that the results that we receive from the TRIM study, and because of the research going on within the esophageal center, our group has also recently initiated a new diet study for our patients with reflux, where we are randomizing people to receive one of three different diets that we think all of them are helpful in reflux. And we're looking at outcomes. We have designed very specific resources for patients, including sample menus and shopping guides, meal ideas, because we're really trying to hone in on what dietary therapies, you know, again, not restricting what people eat, but specifically telling people what they should eat to improve their symptoms. So stay tuned. There should be more to come down the line on the results of that.
Well, thank you for telling us about that. And it is such a multidisciplinary, comprehensive approach, as you said. So, Beth, I'd like you to give us this first last word. Tell us what you would like other providers to know about the TRIM program, about dietary therapies, the role that diet plays in esophageal reflux disease, and how you can help them at Northwestern, help their patients, and what you can do for them.
One thing I would like to tell other practitioners is that patients want diet and lifestyle advice. And if they can't get it in their medical visit, they will try to find it on their own. Many of the things that we provide to patients that I would give as clues to providers is that patients do best in the TRIM study and also in our clinical practice. People do best when they have an abundance of resources. We're really moving away nutritionally from telling people what they shouldn't eat, and we're really focused on these are the key things we want you to eat that will help improve the way that your gut empties, the sensations in your gut, and ultimately how we can reduce reflux. People really want an action plan, and we try to offer that to them when they come. And I would also suggest to other providers that they need to provide a similar type lifestyle action plan with very detailed resources to help people feel like they have this very structured approach. What people eat is very important, and how people eat, eating behaviors, is equally important.
Well, certainly it is. So, Dr. Pandolfino, wrap it up for us. What are your top recommendations that you'd like other gastroenterologists, other providers to consider when they're treating patients with GERD, and about the TRIM program and new research that Beth mentioned? Give us a good summary.
Yeah, so I think really when people are thinking about reflux, they just need to think about it as a chronic medical disorder that has a multitude of potential treatments, and that you really have to target the treatments for the patient, specifically their lifestyle, and then, of course, their pathophysiology, and then the medicines and the procedures that can effectively treat them. And I also want to let, you know, the providers know that, you know, when your patients have these significant symptoms, it does affect their quality of life. And it's extremely important to also deal with the stress and the anxiety that's related with that, the food avoidance, the anxiety related to going out to dinner, all these things matter for the patients, and they shouldn't be discounted. So when you're thinking about your patient, think about the whole patient and how this is affecting their quality of life. And last, you know, there is still a small association of gastroesophageal reflux disease with esophageal cancer. And if your patient is having chronic symptoms and they are requiring a chronic maintenance therapy with acid suppressive medicines like proton pump inhibitors, they really should be screened for esophageal cancer. And I think, you know, once again, it's not a huge risk, and people shouldn't be scared to death about cancer with GERD. But the first and most important thing you can do is get to your doctor, get an endoscopy, get it ruled out that you're at risk for this, and then you can go on and really just focus on treating the symptoms. So really important just not to forget that part. But once again, it's a multi-disciplinary approach that really does the best job when you're treating gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Well, it certainly is. What a great episode, and such an interesting topic that so many millions of people suffer from. So thank you so much for coming on, both of you, today and sharing your expertise and telling us about some really interesting studies. That wraps up this episode of Better Edge, a Northwestern Medicine podcast for physicians. To refer your patient or for more information on the latest advances in medicine, please visit our website at nm.org to get connected with one of our providers. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other Northwestern Medicine podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole.